Imaragai Gimbai, Biribi Barai. That means welcome friends to Biripi country, and it is on behalf of the Biripi people, the custodians of this land, I would like to pay respect to the elders, both past and present, and extend that respect to each and every one listening to King's Kids.
Hi, welcome to King's Kids. I'm Heidi. This week, Aboriginal evangelist Tony Dennison will be continuing his compelling story on the man that abused him when he was six, and how forgiveness was able to free both him and his abuser.
Often when we forgive somebody, we don't always understand the consequences, not for us, but for them. And what happened was, when I told that guy that I actually forgave him for what he did to me as a child, things changed in his heart as well as mine. I was able to hug him, I was able to forgive him. And I was able to stand up in church and tell people that I had forgiveness in my heart. And then I prayed for him. I didn't understand what God was going to do with him. He had a court appearance coming up in a very short time. And he never said anything else to me, but he still kept coming to church. He actually came to church and he asked us to pray for him because he was going to court the next day. And it was D-Day for him because he had to make a decision whether he was going to plead guilty or not guilty. Up until now, he's always pleaded not guilty because some of the offences that he was charged with were actually 30 years before. His solicitor told him, if you plead not guilty, these men are growing up and they have families and it's going to make it difficult for them to come to court and to relive what happened to them. He said, so there's every chance you're going to get off. So we prayed for him. Anyway, and I told him, I said, I'd continue to pray for him. So he goes to court the next day, and the judge asked him to give his plea. And he turned around and he shocked the whole courtroom by saying that he wanted to change his plea from not guilty to guilty. And the judge was actually quite taken back. And the judge said, I won't let you change your plea unless you give me an explanation. And he said, it's like this, Your Honor. He said, a couple of weeks ago, I sat in church, he said, next to an Aboriginal man. I introduced myself to this Aboriginal man, he got up and left the church. And 3 weeks later, he came back. And he said to me, he said, you interfered with me when I was a six-year-old. He said, and I want you to know that I forgive you. And he said, that really affected me, he said, because he was able to forgive me. I know that I'd done wrong. He said, no, I want to make it right. So he said, I want to change my plea from not guilty to guilty. And the judge accepted his plea. This guy was going into prison for the rest of his natural life. But he said to me that he went there full of peace and he was quite comfortable in spending the rest of his life in jail because he'd found God. He'd given his heart to God and he was genuine about it. And only somebody that really want to change their life and accept God can go to prison and feel at peace about it.
The sky is darkened from a dozen disappointments. It seems your world is closing in, and you can see the storm on the horizon, and you can feel the violent winds. But in the midst of fear, know that He is near, and with an honest prayer, you will find, you'll find peace, perfect peace, like light in a field of green, letting go. Assured in arms of grace, look and see through eyes of faith, the harbor of serenity, yeah, peace. The earth was quiet the night that He was born, and He was given out of love. He touched souls and He calmed raging waters. His gentle mercy rained on us. He didn't have to die, but He was crucified so that you and I would. come to know peace, perfect peace, like lying in a field of green, letting go. Rest assured in arms of grace, look and see through eyes of faith, the harbor of serenity. Yeah, peace. In the middle of life's roughest seas, there's a Savior who knows just what we need. Yeah.
I'm reminded when I first went back into prison as a Christian, and I went through A block, and the guy doing the reception, he gave me my clothes and everything like that. He introduced himself, and he was quite a notorious criminal. Anyway, so over the next few months, I got to know him out in the yard and that, and he seemed like a decent bloke. But the crime that he was in for was an horrific murder, actually three murders, that started off in New South Wales and finished up in Queensland. And this guy was sentenced with his partner never to be released, because, as you know, I said I come from Moree, and these guys were arrested near Moree. My dad wasn't saved at the time, and my dad and a lot of the townspeople came out, and they went to the police station, and they wanted to lynch these fellas. They actually wanted to take them out of jail and hang them because of what they did. It never happened, of course. They couldn't get him out of prison. Anyway, one of my Bible study, this guy became a Christian. I was telling him at this Bible study that my dad was going to have a triple bypass in Sydney. And this guy actually wrote my dad a letter. And he wrote to him and told him that he was praying for him, and he wanted God to heal him, and he was praying for his salvation. And you see, my dad had never been a Christian all his life, never even thought about God, because Dad grew up in the time of the stolen generation, and things were quite difficult for Dad and people of my dad's generation. And so when this guy wrote to him and told him who he was, it just blew my dad away. Dad, when he got over his operation, he had to come to the prison to visit me, and he asked, could he meet this guy, could he come out for a visit? And when this guy sat down with my dad, and it wasn't a contact visit, it was in a visit where there was a sheet of glass between us. We was in two separate rooms. And when this guy sat down and started to talk to my dad's heart melted. And for the first time, my dad had tears running down his face, and he couldn't believe that a person like that that committed these horrible crimes was able to pray for him and tell him that he loved him. unconditionally, just like God did. And you know, it affected my dad's life. And not long after, before my dad died, my dad became a Christian. Because see, Dad was able to forgive him, even though Dad didn't know the people that he personally that he killed. But it was a mindset from wanting to lynch the guy to wanting to give him a hug and wanting to tell him that he loved him as well. And that was, you know, a really good thing to see happen, because, you know, when we become Christian, God loves us unconditionally. And when we become Christian, we learn to love other people unconditionally with their faults, and that we don't look at their faults like God does. We look at them because the way God wants us to look at them is the way he looks at us, unconditionally, with love. I want to share one more story. When I was preaching last year, I was preaching in a town, and I was there for 2 weekends in a row. On my second preaching, I was preaching at the night service. And halfway through the night service, when you're preaching, you're concentrating on what you're doing. And I was listening to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit said to me, "Tony, you need to stop preaching, and you need to ask the people, is there a youth meeting on the next week?" And I said, "Okay, God." So I stopped preaching and I said, "Is there anybody in this room, in this congregation, in charge of youth meetings? And can somebody tell me, is there one on next week?" A girl in the front row yelled out and she said, "No, we've got nothing on next week." And I said, "I don't know how you're going to make this happen, but we need to have a youth meeting next week. And I'll come back a day early so that I can preach to the youth of Armidale, because God wants to touch somebody. God's going to heal somebody." And so God's just telling me that we need to have a meeting for next week. And I said, "I'll come back. You just tell me a place and where to be, and I'll be there to do what God wants me to do." And I came back on the Friday. And while I was there, we was getting ready to have the meeting. And a whole lot of Aboriginal people turned up. They weren't told it was a youth meeting, but they turned up to hear me preach. I said to the woman in charge, she said, "Oh, they couldn't come in and all that." I said, "No, well, look," I said, "I'll take responsibility for them. Just let them in. They just want to hear the word of God." Anyway, while I was doing my preaching, I actually was telling a story about my testimony. And there was a young girl sitting in the front row. And I didn't pay much attention to her, but I just kept going with my preaching. And when I finished, the Holy Spirit said to me, "The girl that I told you that would come for healing, she's sitting in the front row. And she's going to come out in a minute and ask you to pray for her." Well, she came out and I asked her, "Could I pray for her?" And because of it was a youth meeting, but there was a lot of noise, so I asked a couple of the elders to come with me, and we went out to another room, and the woman running the meeting, we went outside, one of the assistant pastors, and we wanted to pray for this girl. And as I started to pray for her, God showed me that she had a lot of fear in her life and a lot of unforgiveness, and God wanted to take that away from her. And as I prayed for her, I just prayed for God to release from this unforgiveness in her heart and to take away all the hurts and everything. And when I did that, she said to me after, she said she felt that she was able to forgive the person that did what they did. And I was quite taken back with what she shared with me. She said, "You know," she said, "Pastor, for the last 6 weeks, I haven't been able to get out of my bed. I haven't been able to leave the house. I haven't been able to go to work." Because she said, 6 weeks ago, I was raped. And it so affected me that I couldn't get out of bed. I couldn't go to work. I couldn't face people. And tonight, I wasn't even coming out to this. But somebody said that this Aboriginal evangelist was coming to town. And he preached last weekend and he was quite good. And I think you really need to come and hear this guy. She went home that night. And she rang me early the next morning. She said, "You know, Pastor," she said, "for the very first time I've been able to sleep in 6 weeks. But I want you to know this. I want you to know that I need you to pray for me again." I said, "Why, what's the problem?" She said, "Since you prayed for me yesterday, I haven't been able to stop smiling. And my face is hurting so much from smiling all the time." So when I went and actually prayed with her that morning, we had coffee at a coffee shop. She said, "I just want to run something by you." She said, "I want to ring the person who actually raped me, and I want to tell them I forgive them." And she said, "Not only was I raped," she said a couple of weeks later, "I was having a shower, and I was bashed in the shower by my sister. My sister came into the shower and bashed me." And she said, "So I've had all this anger and hurt, and I haven't been able to go home and live at home because my sister lives there." We just prayed for her again, and then she rang her sister and told her she forgave her. She rang the person who raped her and told her that she forgave him as well. She rang her mum and dad, and she apologised to them, and she said, "Mum and dad," she said, "I want to come home. I want to come home," she said, "because I belong at home." And so she did. She moved back home. And then I prayed for her to get another job because she lost the job. And I prayed for God to give her the confidence to get work. And then she rang me up 2 days later after I'd got home, and she said to me, "Pastor," she said, I got a job starting on Friday. But she said, you know what, Pastor? She said, I didn't even apply for that job. She said, but they rang me and offered me the job. When you tell me that I can trust God in all things, I didn't think for a minute that God would care enough to give me a job. Because I was able to forgive, and I know God has forgiven me for the things that I've done wrong. And she said, you know what, when she went for this job, she just fitted in so perfect. And God knew what job she needed, and God was able to meet her needs because she was obedient to God. And you know what, we can trust God on all things. And if you've got things out there that are bothering you today, then you need to hand it over to God. If you've got a family friend or a member or somebody that you know that you're angry with and they've done something wrong by you and you're sitting there and I'm thinking, well, they really need to come and apologize to me. They really need to come and say they're sorry because, you know, they do this to me all the time and I'm the one that's always got to go and make up and make things right. Well, you know, just once I wish they'd come and do it for me, they'd come and say they're sorry. But sometimes people offend us and they don't even know they've offended us. And if they don't know they've offended us, then nothing's going to ever change. But you're the one that needs to step up, especially if you're a Christian. You need to go to somebody and say, look, you really offended me, but I forgive you for it. You know, as you do that, you know, God's going to forgive you of anything that you've ever done that's against him. But if you don't forgive your fellow man or the person that offends you, God will never forgive you because he says that. He said, if you need to be able to forgive other people, that's one thing that God expects us to do, is to forgive those who do wrong to us. And if we don't forgive them, then how can we expect God to forgive us our wrongs?
If I surveyed all the good things that come to me from above, if I count all the blessings from the storehouse of love, I'd simply ask for a favor of him beyond mortal king, and I'm sure that he'd grant it again. I want to stroll over heaven with you some glad day, when all our troubles and heartaches are vanished away. Then we'll enjoy the beauty where all things are new. I want to stroll over heaven with you. Places of beauty we long to see here below, but time and treasures have kept us from making plans, as you know. But come the morning of the rapture, together we'll stand anew while I stroll over heaven with you. I want to stroll over heaven with you some glad day, when all our troubles and heartaches are vanished away. Then we'll enjoy the beauty where all things are new. I want to stroll over heaven with you. I want to stroll over heaven with you.
We've just heard from Alan Jackson, who was inducted into the Georgia Music Hall of Fame in 2001. and also Twyla Paris and David Robertson. You've been listening to King's Kids with Tony Denison talking about forgiveness and how it has changed and affected many lives for the better. Today we have learned that forgiveness can melt a heart, release anger and hurt, and start us on the road to true healing. God teaches us in the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6:12-13, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." I believe that if we have unforgiveness and are finding it hard to move forward, this part of the Lord's Prayer is a fantastic place to start. Also, having unforgiveness is like drinking the poison and expecting the other person to die. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Heidi. Thanks for your company. This has been King's Kids. Don't forget, you can find King's Kids Ministries International on Facebook. Also, Tony would love to take your call and pray for you or a family member. You're able to contact him on 0427 839 474. That's 0427 839 474. Take care till next time.